We're back here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. I'm Sam Speck, joined in studio by K-State Extension agents Wendy Powell and Jacob Gardner. Welcome back to the two of you as Jacob and I were kind of digging through a little bit of gardening tips right now, and that's probably a good moment to open up the phone lines as well. Say you've got a garden yourself. Maybe you've got some questions regarding any of these for either Wendy or for Jacob. Call us at 620-251-6909. We'll get you in. And again, Jacob, I don't think I've ever had somebody bring a question to you that you don't at least have something to give back to them. So anybody out there.
I can make them up just as fast as I can ask them. No, I don't do that.
Oh, good stuff. Well, again,
I get stumped.
Yeah, well, again, any great questions that you might have, Jacob and Wendy, they are here to ask the questions for. We were just getting into it, kind of your own personal gardens. We're looking at, like, onions sometime this week. Planting in those. Anything else that we can look on down the line for this week or maybe next week that you need to get into the ground?
I'm kind of stuck right now, just trying to get the garden worked. And, of course, it's probably fairly wet in a good many gardens. Of course, I don't use that rotary tiller equipment.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week. We use the fork.
I use a fork because I have a small enough garden that it's a good workout. And by the way, Walk Kansas has started. I don't know if any folks out there listening probably know about that. But it's an extension supported activity, I guess Barbara Ames talked about that, Walk Kansas. But you get so many miles recorded for every, so many activities or minutes of activity, and of course gardening counts if it's a type of activity that keeps you moving and working. And I got at least three good hours of good hard gardening activity this weekend. So
going on and flipping on the water hose wouldn't warrant as an exercise. Well, yeah, and it was Barbara. I think it was a week or two ago that they were kind of highlighting that. So there's many of things that they can do in K-State and her field, obviously, always trying to kind of urge people to live a little bit healthier.
Right.
And not only, Walk Kansas is a great way to start, but at the same time, it's something that you can do every day. Like you mentioned, maybe go out to the garden for 30 minutes a day. Maybe take a walk for 30 minutes a day. Do something outside. But gardening's an easy way to do it.
Yep, and a happy way for me because I really enjoy working out in the garden and getting maybe have some sort of feeling of control over my life, at least in one spot where I can, I know how to take care of a weed.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
because sometimes weeds pop up in life and you just can't do nothing about them.
That's right.
Exactly. So, in your garden, you can get them the heck out of there.
Yeah. So we can manage our garden. Of course, we can't control the weather. We can, to some extent, control insects and disease issues. And we can help with that. But in the long run, it seems like, a lot of effort goes into the garden. And sometimes the plants don't look so great because they've been beat up a little bit. But the end result is the produce that comes out of it. And usually it's fairly substantial. In most years, some years we have crops that just don't seem to do much. Last year was not a great tomato year for me, and the folks I talked to, a lot of them report the same. It just wasn't that great of a year. It was slow to get the plants out, and then all of a sudden it turned off hot, and the plants just didn't do as well. But there was other parts of the garden that did fairly well. I had decent potato crop, so that was good. And of course, my onions didn't do as well as the previous year. It's just sometimes it's like a serendipity. You have a bountiful crop of something, or sweet potatoes come in the end. Usually in the fall, dig up the sweet potato plants and. They're fairly consistent from year to year. We get a good crop of that as well. But, let me throw it back over to Wendy. She's talked about farm leases, so maybe give her an opportunity to say something about
Certainly.
Farm leases.
Yeah, and then I got to, before we do, Wendy, here real quick, before I forget it, because I know I'm going to, for you yourself or for anybody out there that, it's kind of getting to that point where things are starting to sprout, they're starting to grow a little bit more. Do you use anything to help supplement that growth, such as in fertilizers, and is there a right time to do it?
Well, that's a good question, because the idea that fertilizers are going to stimulate growth, they do in a way if there's the deficiency, but they can't stimulate growth substantially, but that's not the real growth stimulator is sun. It's sunlight. That's what stimulates and warmth. The leaves capturing sunlight, turn it into food for the plant. Fertilizers are there, and of course, the fertilizer is kind of like maybe hormones. We don't say hormones, but it's building blocks that the plant needs. And if they're in sufficient supply, the plant's going to really take advantage of it, especially nitrogen, to the point with some plants, if you put too much nitrogen on, it can create some serious issues. Like for tomato plants, you can have rampant growth. You can have a jungle of tomato plants, but no fruit, because it keeps the plant juvenile, keeps it in that very active growth phase, and reduces the amount of flower production and actual fruit set. So doing too much can have negative results. And same thing is true of applying livestock manure, and I've seen several soil tests already coming in this year. It's pretty obvious that somebody got a bargain on manure, and so they filled up the pickup and hauled it in, or maybe a dump truck dumped it in on a small garden, worked it in too much. Got to back off, let go, because you're not going to raise a whole lot. You're just going to have maybe plants that are stunted because of maybe high salts content or something in the soil. So yeah, we got to watch how much we put on. But what really gets the garden growing is warmth, sunlight, and good weather, rainfall when we need it, ideal conditions. Sounds like heaven, maybe. Well, maybe we're going to have to just deal with what we get here in Kansas.
Yeah, it sounds like you kind of have to prepare for it as well. Wherever you're placing your garden, make sure it's got, you know, consistent sunlight during the day, somewhere that it's going to get consistent water, and it's not basically on a floodplain or something like that.
So I have a shade tree that's encroaching on my garden.
You going to trim it back or get rid of it?
I'll kind of go get rid of it because it's a very valuable shade tree, because it shades my house, but I can't move the garden, so I'm going to trim it back a little bit, yep.
Yeah, a little bit, at least get a little bit. Well, cool, thanks for answering the question there. Again, for me, as somebody that's never really done this, it's just kind of like, oh, you know, you need some more growth, you need some water, maybe a little fertilizer, but no, really, it's kind of selecting and daily sunlight as well. So.
Right.
Well, Wendy, let's swing it over to you then. As he had mentioned something a little bit about lease laws or, you know, leasing, so, things like that. Are we still kind of in the midst of that right now?
Pasture leasing, yeah. I got a question on it yesterday, and most folks already have their pasture leasing under control, and then they know what they're going to do for summer grass. But if you are still thinking about that and how much to charge or how much to pay, some of the factors that you need to think about there are the pasture inputs, you know, fencing, fertilizing, take weed control, some of those factors that maybe an absentee landowner might not have in mind whenever they're thinking about the price of their pasture. Something else that you might want to keep in mind is grazing days or stocking rate. If you want to graze it all year long, you probably need a fewer head on there. Or if you want to graze it for just 1 month, maybe you throw a whole bunch of critters on there. So some of those factors you really just need to keep in mind whenever you're thinking about the price of your pasture. And also you need to think about the type of grass it is, of course. Fescue might be a little bit more pricey than you might find with native grass. Or if you've got just the big four in your native grass, or if you've got some poverty grass croaching in there. So just keep those factors in mind whenever you're thinking about pasture leasing prices. K-State Extension Research and Extension. I'm just working on that title there, Jacob.
There you go.
We have some really great resources, including a pasture lease calculator that I can help you with getting that set up. And we have some really nice worksheet contracts if you're interested in looking at it, like a paper copy of a formal or leasee. Something else that I've been getting a lot of questions on lately is prescribed burning. It's that time of year, and it's a really common practice because it's one of the most economical ways to control weeds in pastures. Some of the factors that you need to keep in mind if you're going to do some prescribed burning is going to be putting in some fire breaks or making for sure you know where you want your fire to stop. It's really a good practice to Let your neighbors know when you're going to burn. Let your local fire department know when you're going to burn as well. That way they know when somebody driving down the road might be calling in and saying they see smoke or they see fire. Then they know that you're on top of that and it's your burn, and they know that somebody's taking care of it. Some other factors to keep in mind there would be having enough people on hand to make for sure that fire does not get out of control, and making for sure that the equipment is on hand, you know, making for sure you have enough water to suppress any fire that might be hitting that stop line. So lots of things to think about whenever it comes to prescribed burning to keep it safe and to be effective. And a lot of times it's helpful to get a couple of neighbors together. And if both of you are wanting to burn, go ahead and coordinate that together. You got to look at wind speed, wind direction when deciding on a day to burn. Also, whenever it goes up into the air.
Air pollution.
Thank you. Yes. So it can be a visibility issue. It can be an air quality control issue, the smoke. So make for sure that the smoke's not going to be blowing onto a major roadway to prevent drivers from seeing. And just make for sure that you're being responsible with your prescribed fires and taking action when needed.
Yeah, and I got to ask you real quick, because it is, you know, your land. It's where you're burning, but is there any, you know, preliminary stages that you have to take? Is there a permit that you have to get, or is it just kind of, you know, like you said, take the steps, be safe with it, and, you know, more communication the best?
I am new to the professional side of rangeland management in Kansas, and so at this time I'm not aware of any laws when it comes to prescribed fire, but there's some best management practices and some neighborly things to do when it comes to prescribed burning, and folks really need to be responsible about those things. I certainly discourage a set it and forget it approach whenever you talk about fire. It's not a prescribed fire at that point. It's not even a control fire. That is a wildfire whenever you go out and light a match and go back to town or go back home and watch the evening news or go watch a basketball game. That's really not okay.
Yeah, certainly. And then also you had mentioned a good point. You know, a lot of time leases are just kind of a handshake or just kind of a head nod, something like that. It's good to get a contractual, you know, paper trail, at least a little bit of something with that.
Sure. And the other factor with that is, you know, whenever the person that is usually the go-to on that lease arrangement is no longer in the picture, maybe there's a death in the family or people just move on, it's good for the next person to know what has been done or what's been discussed. So certainly that continuum transition there is key.
Yeah. Well, and you were mentioning kind of a calculator as well for kind of basing your pasture as well, getting the right price for a seller. Does that kind of apply for somebody that's looking for the pasture too? They can kind of use that in the opposite direction and be like, okay, here's kind of a base price of what I should be expecting. And then if you get a price that's way over or way under, does that work both ways as well?
Certainly would. Yes. If you know what you're looking for, you can put some factors in there and know what the value of that of a place might be. And so if you get a price from someone that is really low or really high, then you'll know what the situation is.
Sweet, sweet. Well, we do have one caller over the phone. We are cutting with time here real quick, but we will we'll try and get this question answered here. Good morning, caller. Did you have a question for Wendy or Jacob?
For Wendy. A few years back on the radio, they were talking real big about protecting your big farm data, and I was just wondering what all that was.
Wendy wasn't here 3 years ago.
Yeah, she was an Oklahoma ag agent.
Yeah, so I can tell you, if you're talking about data like production records or financial records, you certainly want to make for sure everybody in the generation transition might know where that information is.
I think it was on the cloud or something with all the seed companies or something like that.
Okay, yeah, I'm not familiar with what was discussed more than a week and a half ago.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Do you have your information on your own personal computer?
I think it had to do with crops and with fertilizers and inputs and all that stuff, maybe with all the big corporate farming and protecting your own stuff. And then I don't know. It was just something, whenever they had AgriTalk on KGGF, they would discuss that sometimes.
Okay. But you're talking about keeping records, right?
I guess so, yeah. I think it had to do with internet on your tractor and your combine, and they put that out on the cloud or something. It was kind of in the early 2000s.
Or precision agriculture. Is this something you're doing right now?
No, I was just always wondering what they were talking about.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, and again, Wendy is fresh out right now, but I'm sure, you know, within the next couple of weeks, she's going to get a lot of information, a lot of information, no doubt. She's been doing it in Oklahoma for a handful of years, and I know we got a good one up here. So is just kind of a pondering question. Did you have anything else for Jacob or Wendy?
That was all.
All right, well, hey, we appreciate your call this morning. All right, thank you very much. Again, Wendy, Jacob Gardner here in studio. Wendy Powell again over the phones. You can get a hold of her at any number regarding those questions about pastures, things like that. What's a good phone number to get a hold of either you two?
Okay, for me, today, I'm not able to be getting a hold of because I'm going to be running around doing things. But for the local independence office, 620-331-2690. And Wendy's going to be in the Altamont office, so they can get a hold of her there, 620-784-5337, or any of the other two offices, Gerard at 620-724-8233, and the Fredonia office at 620-378-2167.
It's the first time. I was going to say, it was the first time you've ever gotten all the numbers down. All right, okay. Again, Wendy Powell, Jacob Gardner with the K-State Extension offices. Thanks so much, and we'll do this again next Wednesday.
Thank you.
It's the Mighty 690 KGGF.